I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the fallout from a huge weekend across Scottish football continues. Rangers fan groups call for Russell Martin and Patrick Stewart to be removed, reveal details of planned protests. Celtic fans have had their protests, so what comes next in the aftermath of Rugby Park? We'll also hear for the first time from Sebastian Tonetke, and we move towards a huge week of League Cup quarter-final action in the company of Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL.
Yeah, I sat here on Saturday after the Rangers-Hearts game, Gordon, and I said I'd be amazed if Russell Martin was in the dugout next week for the Hibs Cup game. So far he's survived, but the pressure is certainly ramping up on him every single day. Patrick Stewart's been pulled into it now. Fans not happy. Statements come now. Can he survive? That's a big, big question. And then you look over at Celtic as well. Obviously, the protest, 12 minutes, got that late winner. A lot of controversial incidents at the weekend, I've got to say. And I think the boys touched on it last night. But I'm looking forward to the Cup. There's always a shock somewhere. Will it be Mark Wilson in part of this?
Oh, can you imagine? Plenty of time to look ahead to the League Cup, though, Marvin. It feels like the fallout from the weekend is going to rumble on, particularly for Glasgow's Big Two.
Yeah, as you said, it's never quiet, is it, with what's going on? The difference with Celtic, though, is they go on to win the game, as Gordon said there, right at the end. Rangers, you know, really, really struggling now. I thought that Hearts game would be a tough one. Obviously, we played them, you know, the week before, but I did think Rangers would go through and win it. Then I saw it was a 2-0 defeat for them, and you know, it's becoming really, really toxic there. Now he's relying on his players to dig him out of a hole. You know, the board have said they're going to stick with him. The fans aren't happy with that, but they need to, you know, change their fortunes very, very quickly. And I'm not sure it's going to come against Hibs either this weekend.
What's your thoughts on team bonding?
Oh, that's a good shoot, actually.
Yeah, you're a man.
Yeah.
Would you like to swim in Loch Long on a Monday
morning? Anywhere, except for a villa on holiday. But
what's the most extreme team bonding either of you have ever done?
Herding sheep.
Excuse me?
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously?
Yeah, with when we were at Burnley. Doing that.
Right, tell me more. I'm invested. Forget everything else for a second.
And honestly, as you can imagine, I'm not interested. It was like, it was raining. Obviously, there was just mud everywhere. And you're working the team to basically try and get them in their pen. And every time it ran at me, I was just like, out the way, breaking the thing. So we were all in like a chain. But obviously, at times, they would try and run and try and get out.
You were frightened.
Oh, 100%, man. No interest at all. I was terrible. My teammates were going mental at me. But
herding sheep.
Yeah, that was the strangest thing we did.
Listen, our day was different, wasn't it? There was no social media, so you would probably just get your training done. Boys would go for a bit of lunch, few beers. Everything would come out on the table.
All right, hold on. I'm starting to regret asking this question.
Yeah. And then we'd start having a chat. But it was all the old days was a few beers, a bite tea, a discussion. You know what, like some of the boys, their characters come out.
All right, okay, never mind. I'll go back to here.
It never ever worked.
0141 951 1025. Give us all your thoughts. Rangers fan groups, Union Bears and others calling on the removal of Russell Martin and Patrick Stewart, talking about planned protests. So that story has moved on a bit today What do you make of that, Rangers fans? Is it at that stage? Would you join in some sort of protest? Have you got plans to not go to Hibs at the weekend, or plans to voice your frustration in some other way? Do let us know, because we kind of picked over the game last night. Where does this go from here then, going forward? What are you thinking? Get all your thoughts in. 01419511025. As you might have expected, it's been a whole day of comments and memes and criticism and maybe a bit of defence for Russell Martin and the Rangers team going for their swim in Loch Lomond, going up Connick Hill. How do you think that has gone down? Is that just one of those things? Are we all over exaggerating because things are in a bad place for Rangers at the moment? Or genuinely, is it something you would have rather seen kept behind closed doors? Let us know. 01419511025. Celtic fans, I'm keen to get your thoughts now, because it was all built up to the weekend, the protest. It happened, so the frustrations were voiced. Celtic won the game. What's that next step? Does that mean do you continue to protest? I assume no one's going to say that's it, done and dusted, and you all just move on and forget about your grievances. What does that look like for you going forward? Maybe a bit more on the actual football, which we haven't done too much. We're going to hear from Sebastian Tonekty. I take it he was the standout for you at the weekend. Are you quite excited to see what he can bring to the table? Let us know what you made of his performance. And anything else at all, you know where we are. 0141 951 1025. Get in touch. But yeah, one of those rare times, I think, over the last few weeks when both sets of fans are kind of not pleased, albeit Celtic, they did their bit on the pitch at the weekend. That would be the difference.
Yeah, the most important thing, Gordon, obviously kept herself up top of the table. Hearts doing very well, good result at Ibrox, but Celtic going to a difficult venue. Wasn't the greatest game, I've got to say, but it's all about picking up the 3 points. Once again, the referees come under the spotlight, didn't they? With a couple of decisions down there that the Kilmarnock manager, in my opinion, rightly so, wasn't happy about. But it's all about going down there, getting a good professional job, getting 3 points and back up the road, and Brendan Rodgers achieved that, especially on a day that most of the fans at the beginning of the game were standing outside, and then after 12 minutes they come in, they filled the stand at the obviously at the way end, brought a little bit of atmosphere to it. But you're looking at that league table now. Aberdeen still, and this man here's got a lot to do with it, sitting bottom of the table.
And what I was going to say is, any coincidence, you look at that weekend, like, it was just blockbuster across the board. Yeah. The Hearts going there. You get the late drama at Rugby Park, game of the season at Easter Road. Falkirk, you know, showing a good bit of fight up in the top flight, but ultimately St Mirren doing what St Mirren do. And the only game he's involved in, 0-0.
Yeah.
Snooze fest.
Well, he set up, he says to me last
week, he's happy
week,
with that though.
We're going to be hard to beat.
Still on the half. Yeah. I watched the highlights and I just kept, it was like, I didn't see Livy heading towards the opposition.
The biggest thing that happened on that day was that we got cold pizzas after the game. Absolutely raging. So upset.
That's it. That's the biggest thing.
The point as well, but yeah, the pizzas are more important than they were cold. Fuming.
Day ruined. 01419511025. Jim is on the line. As a Rangers fan, Jim, we've now got sort of calls from fan groups for the manager to go and planned protests. Where are you in all this?
Well, I think you should go, but we can come on to that in a minute if you don't mind. I'm a first-time caller panel. Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
No, I've watched his press conference after the game, and the arrogance of the man is absolutely shocking. He threw every player under the bus when he said they're anxious and they're scared to play. At no point has he turned around and said, hold on a minute, maybe it's me that's getting it wrong. He blames everybody but himself. And I was in the army for 24 years, the parachute regiment. And we had a saying, it was known as the 7 P's. Prior preparation and planning prevents poor performance. I don't see any prior preparation. I mean, you've just got beat 2-0 and he takes them cold water swimming and walking up hills. How about get on the training ground and sort it out?
A lot of peas in there.
Well, I will let you back in, Jim, because I think it looks like you're going to cover a lot of good ground. I don't know how I feel about this, Marvin, where it's like the second night or part of the second night where we might seriously analyse the cold water swimming. Jim says, I mean, should be spending time in the training ground, but that's probably not the point, is it? I mean, it's not like Rangers don't train. It would have been a day off or a
recovery day.
Day, the Monday, yeah. And that's the thing. You know, they've been doing ice baths. That's what normally happens at all football clubs. You know, you do ice baths, the boys will get a massage and you go for a walk, the ones who have played, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, you know, Russell Martin's trying to bring the players together. I know a lot of people have said, well, why take them out in public? But ultimately, the players cross the white line and they're the ones that have not been picking up the points. So what should he do? Should he hide the players away? I think it shows that he does still care, because it would have been very easy for him to keep them at the training ground, watch the video back, and then, you know, off you pop home. Something that they've obviously had planned and he's wanted to do. And he's actually willing to try anything now to bring these players back together and to get them pulling in the right direction. Some people will disagree with it. Some people will agree with it. But from a player's point of view, I think, you know, you have to go out there and face the public at times. And
don't think it just invites sort of unwanted attention more than anything. Because as you, like, this is Glasgow. We're bound to make too much of everything.
Not winning games does that, though, Gordon. Sorry to interrupt you, but, you know, that not winning games, the players crossing that white line and not winning the games, that's the biggest problem at this moment in time.
See, once you've done that, though, is it sometimes just you take the path of least resistance, and that's not a hill walking pun, to just, do you know what I mean, just to do anything you can to take the heat off you or not put the spotlight on you. Is that more what it is?
Maybe I think team bonding, I'm all for it, but the big question is, you're five league games in and you're team bonding already. I know that the argument is one or two players came late into the transfer window. I'm not against it, because people have got to understand, they're shouting, get them on the training ground, work them hard. Marv knows, modern day game, Monday, if you play Saturday, recovery day, everything to do with the sports science. So I don't mind the team bonding. I don't think it was right to go up Loch Lomond, go in the water and then walk up a hill. I would rather have done something closed doors for me.
See, to use a football analogy on this, see when Steve McLaren stood with the umbrella, standing up with an umbrella in the rain is absolutely fine because it keeps you dry. But see when it comes in amongst an embarrassing defeat, you then become known as the Wally with the Brawley or whatever it was. And that, do you see what I mean? It's holding the umbrella is fine in some circumstances. Going up Connick Hill is fine in some circumstances. Maybe not these ones.
Yeah. Listen, and like I said, people will pick holes in absolutely everything. But what Gordon says there is a fantastic point. You know, a lot of players have came in late into the group, and ultimately, when you're walking, you have to talk. And that's what probably Russell Martin's missing. You know, if you have your players just doing a cool down, what happens now with Monday players? They're all on their phones. You go into the dressing room, nobody's actually talking. So maybe he's seeing that as a problem. You know, ultimately, lads, we're not close-knit enough. So I'm going to do this to try and bring them together. Yeah. And like you said, if they go on to win the next three or four games, it'll look like a masterstroke. If they don't, then everyone will keep reminding them of it.
Sorry, Jim, on you go. I just wanted to pick up on that point with the guys.
Yeah, that's fine. And another one he came out with was, he was asked at the press conference, what do you see that we and the fans don't see? And he came out, well, you don't see them on the training ground on a Thursday and a Friday. Well, to me, that's, is he saying that he's only on the training ground on a Thursday and a Friday? If so, where is he for the rest of the week?
No, I think you might have picked that up wrong. I certainly don't think that was the point. However, that comment did raise some eyebrows as well, because again, fans are going, we don't care how well you train, we really don't.
Listen, doesn't matter what comment Russell Martin makes just now, everything's getting scrutinised, everything's getting picked up, and I'm delighted, Thursday, Europa League, they're going to win this. You know, they're brilliant on Thursday, I'm looking forward to it.
But he also must know deep, and again, I get the point he's trying to make, but he must know deep down, like, there can't be any fan who cares how well they train if the results are...
See his press conference for me now. Marv's been the manager, I've been the manager in the lower division, and I've been there when you're getting absolutely criticised from your fans, and it's the loneliest place in the world. He's went in there, he's as flat as a pancake, he feels terrible, and he's sitting there, and he doesn't matter what answer he's going to give back. Doesn't matter what answer he's going to give back. I don't think he handled it well at all. I thought it was a poor, poor interview from the Rangers manager. But they were just gunning up for him. They were ready for him. You know, it was not acceptable. Look, he shouldn't come out with statements, well, you should see us on a Thursday and Friday. It's not about a Thursday and a Friday. You can do anything you want on a Thursday and a Friday. It's about what you produce on the match day between 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock or whatever the kickoff times is. That's all the fans are interested in. So his press conference after the game was a bit of a shambles.
Thank you to Jim. It can't be easy being in those situations, though. I think we would concede that. What about John and Airdrie? Hi, John.
Hi,
Hey guys, how we doing?
Good, thank you, John. What are you thinking tonight?
I just heard somebody make a comment about the Wally with the Brawley. I think Russell Martin pulled a David Brent this week, sending the players off to Loch Lomond and then Connachtkill without actually going himself. If that wasn't David Brent move, I don't know what is. Just he's absolutely gone. I don't know any self-respecting Rangers fan who still wants him at the club. The problem we have is the guys who hired him, Elwell and Patrick Stewart, are so unaware, don't care about the fan base, about the club, the traditions, the history, and they're so unaware of their own performance. I mean, they've underestimated the league. They've underestimated what the job at hand is. The players they've brought in, there's no leaders, there's no caliber of player, there's nobody there that can take the game to the scruff of the neck. And they're really, really... I mean, Fairwell was watching games when we were down at Manchester. The man, Patrick Stewart. So surely they must have seen what we lacked in positions and leadership and different things up to the end of last season. But again, just don't care. They don't give Scottish football the credit it deserves. And it's come back to bite them.
Yeah, I mean, the statement that's gone out, the Union Bears statement last night, these things, you know, they're widely shared. I mean, I checked Twitter before we came on, nearly 900,000 views or something, you know, 4,500 likes. Everybody seems to have seen it. The mainstream media has picked up on it. So it says they stand with fellow fan groups. They demand the immediate removal of the Rangers management team and CEO. Russell Martin's shown beyond doubt he's not capable. Performances are a disgrace. Rangers can't afford the upheaval, but in Martin's case, there's no debate. Failure is absolute, must be removed. Patrick Stewart criticised supporters, but won't take responsibility for his own catastrophic decision. The appointment of Russell Martin lies with him. His position's untenable. The new owners must act quickly and decisively. A series of protest actions have already been planned, beginning with Saturday's match. So where John, to sort of combine John's point with the statement, the reason I read it, Gordon, is it's all very much been directed at Russell Martin, but there always becomes a tipping point where it does start to shift to the people that appoint him and stand by him.
And that's the problem. Look, I'm all for fans because they pay so much money, and it's very difficult now to follow your team up and down the country because obviously financially it's difficult. There's no doubt about that. But as a club, you cannot let your fans dictate whether you keep a manager or sack a manager. I think if you've got the trust in the people, and everybody at the beginning of the season when the 49ers come in said, well, that's the structure now in the building, which is great. That's what Rangers needed. Now, they've got to sit there and look themselves in the mirror and say, Russell is Martin is the man to take us forward. We believe he's got to turn this round. Or they've got to put their hand up and say, we have made a massive mistake here, right? And they've got to be brave enough to come out and say that. They can't just get in there and say, well, it's our man, how is this going to look? They know their way about football clubs. So there's something in there just now that's keeping Russell Martin in a job, because the fans don't want him. It's clear that fans don't want him. I don't think the players believe in what he's trying to do either. I don't even know if Russell Martin does. But the board, if they're going to make the decision, have got to make it for them to be strong. Not because the fans are going off their head. You can't let fans dictate to you. What happens if they appoint an ex-manager and the fans go, oh, he's got shorter hair, we don't like his hair. So all of a sudden you've got a problem. If he's not going to take you forward as a manager, and by the looks of it, he's not, and I'm with the fans in this, the board have got to be strong. That's what the structure was put in for. That's what all the Rangers fans bought into. You've got to believe in the process.
From a board's point of view, though, do you think you can lose faith in someone that, you know, 10 weeks ago or 11 weeks ago, however long ago it was, he was the man that they thought was to take them forward?
I do, Marv.
Do you think you can lose it that quickly?
100%. You can sit down and you can listen to a guy's ideas and you buy into them, and he can sell you them, right? Because that's what you do. When you get in for an interview, you sell yourself, you sell your ideas. And as a board, you can sit there and say, this sounds brilliant, this is the way forward, we've looked at your track record, brilliant, ticks all the boxes. But you've got to be strong as leaders and a board. After 10 games or whatever it may be, you look at that and think, this isn't going the way we should. So you've got to go in and address the situation now. I think the board have got to do that.
I think I'll say on the back of that is they start at Southampton when them getting promoted. I think the first 10 games, maybe they'd have won one game or first 12 games, they really struggled. So do you think the board could potentially look at how he turned that around and say he can do it here? Or is that what's buying him time because he's done it before?
That's why I'm saying there must be something in there that this board are looking at Russell Martin thinking he can turn this round if we just stick by him. I don't agree with that, and I don't think 49,000 plus at Ibrox at the weekend agree with it. I don't think fans that don't go to the game agree with it. So it's a big, big call for the board, and they've got to get it right.
Is the difficulty with this that when you look, you know, understand where Marvin's coming from? Oh, caller's disappeared. Where's he gone? Never mind. I was going to just get him back. I'll put it back to you, Marvin. There's a slow start, and then there's this.
Yeah.
You know, this is beyond that. This is, for many fans, just unthinkable. Worst start in 47 years, results-wise, and actually performance levels are not even heading in any sort of direction for them, it seems like. There's just no patience whatsoever. So how do you... Because, see, generally, right, see, because of the way football is going, I think football probably is heading towards an unsustainable way that it treats managers. You look at the average time across the leagues, I genuinely think that's unsustainable, and at some point clubs are going to have to really dig in and like stick by a manager. But how do you do it when all the fans are gone, all of them?
Yeah, no, it becomes very, very difficult. Like you said, you know, the start that Rangers have made, I don't think anyone would have bet on this, you know, come start of the season. The board have backed him in terms of bringing players in. Yes, he's lost one or two players as well, for whatever reason, but like you said, even a couple of the points that they have got, they've been very, very lucky to get. Then they lose, you know, 2-0 at home to Hearts. So, yeah, listen, it's been a really, really poor start. And Russell Martin has to turn it around. But like Gordon said there's something that he's doing or what he's saying that's making the board think that he's the right man going forward. But as I said, they need to turn it around very quickly.
Thank you to John. What do you think then? Fan groups have now started issuing statements. Is that going to change anything? Do you see that pressure telling or not? Let us know. We'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Okay, Marvin Bartley and
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
DL are here at 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB if you want to get in touch. It's when you look at the way things are developing, Gordon has said, kind of trying to take this on, understand that inevitably the conversation just goes down the same route, but the kind of fresh spin on this today is now, you know, fan groups are starting to issue statements and so on and call for protest. Do you think that can convince Rangers ownership, Rangers board to think differently?
Well, of course, Gordon, the fans are powerful. Let's not be kidded here. You see on the other side of the city, Celtic fans are at it against the board as well. But I keep going back to it. As much as I'm all for fans, because of they're the heart and soul of the club, you cannot let fans dictate whether you keep a manager or not. You've got to be confident inside that building that you're seeing something, that Russell Martin will eventually turn this round. We can't see it. And the fans can't see it, and the players, he's throwing the players under the bus a little bit by saying.
See, when you say dictate, though, right? I know what you mean, but to be sort of pedantic about it, if you've lost an entire fan base, why can't fans, like, dictate's a strong word, so I'm not saying they should dictate, but why can't fans influence that decision?
Oh, I think they will. Right, I think there's no doubt. Listen, if Patrick Stewart and Thelwell and all that, they start coming after, all of a sudden you protect your own back in football. And Marv will tell you, it's a very selfish game. You look after yourself, number one, first and foremost. But I keep going back to it. If they believe inside there, they're seeing something in Russell Martin that nobody else is seeing, they've got to be strong enough to stick with it.
Let's ask John in Canvas Lang. John.
Good evening, Gordon, Marvin Gordon.
Hello, evening, mate.
straight away, I'd say, Gordon, you're probably wrong. Fans will dictate about Russell Martin being there just seat on Saturday when so many fans won't turn up at Ibrox. And the owners will start looking at this. So fans start stop putting money into the club by not turning up to games and not buying merchandise and stuff like that. That will dictate to these new owners.
Do you think that will that happen, John? So the statement from the Union Bears didn't specify. It said, you know, protest actions or something were underway. You'll know more than me. I think our season ticket holders, part of the kind of cup ticket scheme where the money's already taken out, but I suppose you don't have to go to the game. Do you think, will there be like a visible sign of this on the weekend?
Well, you just need, if you want to go online and try and buy a ticket for the game, you'll get a ticket, no problem.
Is it?
Because it only shows you how many tickets have sold. There will be fans that have already paid for their season tickets, which is fine. They've already done this, but what I'm going through, what I see, if I want to buy a ticket for the game Saturday, there's a lot of tickets left, and that'll show you. What I've seen is Europa League packages have not been purchased like they have been. Last few years, we've done really well in the Europa League, and the tickets have sold out pretty quick, or near the selling out. So this is the start yet. So the fans have been quite vocal about, no, they probably didn't want Russell Martin at the start. They gave him a chance. But every time he comes out and speaks after the game, we can put up with bad football. We've had years and years of being behind our closest rivals. We went through the leagues for Rangers, first, second, third division, and they're stuck by the team. But now it's just, they're taking treating fans with contempt the way they're saying that we're stuck by this manager, and things haven't got better. Every game's got progressively worse. I was there on Saturday. There was some of the players looked as if they've got something about them, but they won't do it under this manager. He's already fell out with two, three, four players, and after that, you start losing the dressing room. It's a hard way back for them.
Do you think that I'll take John's word for it, whether it's empty or partially empty at the weekend? Is that when, even if you are so strong in your resolve as a board member, or Kevin Thelwell or Andrew Kavanagh, and you say we're backing this guy, and then you walk out and Ibrox is empty or half empty, is that the type of thing that causes you to reconsider?
I'm not saying for one minute that the fans don't put pressure on the board. Of course they do. Of course they do. This is new ownership that's come in. This is new ownership that's appointed Russell Martin. And I keep going back to it, Gordon. I didn't think Russell Martin, sitting here tonight, would still be the manager of Rangers Football Club. I thought,
well, what makes you say that then? Because obviously he said, was it prior to the Old Firm game, it was his, it's the, you know, he's never felt as backed, or something along those words. Andrew Kavanagh came to the training ground, so they drew against Celtic, so that was in theory a good result, or an acceptable one. But you thought that what Saturday was so bad that would then change?
Yeah, I just thought everything about it was absolutely terrible. Don't get me wrong, during the game, I looked at the game as well, and there's a few decisions that went against them that they could feel a little bit hard done by. Of course they can. But with the fans, every fan, it's not like you go, well, there's 50-50. I would probably say 100% of fans have just totally switched off from him. I don't think it helps with these press conferences as well. And the one that would have triggered me was when he's talking about that the players are feeling edged when they go on the pitch and they're feeling a bit nervous and everything about that. Now, if I'm the board, I'm sitting thinking, hold on a minute, it's your job as a manager to put them on with the confidence, the game plan, everything, so that they're not feeling that way. So that's where I thought the board might have turned around and said, right, okay, he's gave us a way out of here. I didn't think he'd be the manager, and we get back to it now. He's game to game, and some supporters are now saying, even if he beats him 5-6-0, we still want him out the building. So it's only a matter of time. The board must know that. But I keep going back to one thing. New owners have come in. They've appointed them. They must be sitting there now thinking, we see something in them, because if they don't, the best way is to part ways with Russell Martin and let's move forward as a club.
John says he feels like there are some players have got something about them, and therefore if the sort of strength of the team isn't coming through in the overall performances, that's usually when it's the manager's fault. Does that let players off the hook a bit though? As well?
Yeah.
Or do you think Rangers do have a good squad of players at the moment?
I think Rangers have got a good enough squad of players to be doing a lot better than they currently are doing, Gordon. There's no doubt about that. So ultimately, it falls on the manager either not preparing them properly or the players aren't executing the game plan when they cross the white line. And obviously, at this moment in time, the board believe that it's the players. Once they cross the white line, they believe that Russell Martin's doing all within his powers to get them to win games. This Rangers team and this squad is definitely more than capable of winning games of football. So, Gordon, I agree, it's a game-to-game basis with them, but would you be surprised that they went and beat Hibs and then they went on a run? Because that's what they should do.
Outside of
Celtic, this team should be able to find a way of beating the rest domestically.
But you touched a great point here, and I think every Rangers fan will be shouting down the radio, the game plan.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see a game plan.
But the board must see. He must be convincing the board that there is a game plan it's on the players.
But I don't see it, right? And I've been in the game a long time. Mm-hmm. There's supporters there that follow Rangers up and down the country for years upon years that know football and very intelligent. Don't see it. I don't even think the players see it, Marvin. I think that's where the biggest problem is.
They don't see where a win's coming from, do they? They've got, Hibs in the next game. Who did they play in the league after that?
The mighty Livy.
On the Astro.
Yeah.
It's going to be dry.
Oh,
it's going to be dry.
Thank you, John. Let's get Robert to East End's thoughts. Go on, Robert.
There it is. I mean, I don't understand why Russell Martin's still on the job. But what I don't understand is why he's not playing Nico Raskin. I mean, last year he was one of the best players we had on the park. I mean, I know he's got a brand new squad in there. He's brought a lot of players in. I mean, some of the new players that have came in are absolutely fantastic. But recently, watching him, his press conferences are terrible. I mean, I'm watching the games and I'm turning it off as soon as we're 2-0 down because I don't think there's any way back. I get that he got a draw against Celtic, which is a good thing for us. But, I mean, last year we were beating Celtic and, I mean, he's just dropped Raskin. There's no explanation why he's done it. I mean, where do we go from here? Do you know what I mean? As a Rangers fan, where do we stand? Do you know what I mean? When we're asking for this guy to be sacked because he's just getting away with absolute murder, to be fair. Do you know what I mean?
It was the bit actually that hasn't really got that many headlines from the weekend because everything else overtook it. But you could straight away, as soon as Rangers started suffering within the game, the Nicholas Raskin chants rang around. As soon as they went 1-0 down, they got louder and it kind of kept happening. He said he was back training with the first team, although he wasn't in the squad. He was famously up Connick Hill with the rest of the team. You wonder if this is the weekend because it's just you just knew this would happen. It's going to be used as a stick to beat Russell Martin with as well, you know, on top of everything else that's going wrong at the moment.
Yeah, he's become such an important player that he's not in the team now, isn't he? Look, I like Raskin. I think he's a very, very good player. You don't get in a Belgium squad if you're not. But for me, Gordon, I will love the day when it actually comes out what happened between Raskin and obviously Russell Martin. Because if you're a manager and you know you're under pressure from the supporters, you know you need to get wins, you want your best 11 on the pitch. And for Russell Martin to stick to his guns, and a lot of people call him arrogant, I get that because he's press conferences. But as a manager, you can at least go, do you know what? See, between 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock, I'll work with this guy because he's a better player than I've got on the pitch. I'll get him on there. But there must be something so bad, Gordon, between Raskin and Russell Martin or the dressing room that's happened that he is not playing.
Actually, I'm a bit boring with this. I actually don't think there will be. I don't think it'll be like one specific blow up. Is it not just more likely that it's just maybe, like I say, just maybe a difficult character, maybe undermining things, maybe saying too much, maybe the things he's saying in a way that shouldn't be done? You think there's like one big drama?
Well,
I just think...
Well, this man's still in the game and he'll tell you, right, we've all been in dressing rooms and we've had a ding-dong with a manager. The manager drops here.
There are degrees of that stuff.
Yeah, but it baffles me because... If it was just a sort of a couple of little things that happened and one or two things were said, they can be made, you patch them up, you get him on the pitch because he's your best midfield player. But for Russell Martin to stick to his guns, then his statement of he has to earn the trust of the players means that it's not just between Raskin and Russell Martin. The players and everything are involved in this. So, yes, I do believe it's a massive thing.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. I think it has to be a big thing, just for the points that Gordon's kind of said there. If it's a small thing in the way the club's going, the way the team's playing at this moment in time, your best midfielder, you try and get him on the pitch. And like you say, you try and trust him for between 3 and 5 o'clock, whatever else it might be. I think it's something quite big, Gordon. And I think
I suppose what I mean is, right, I don't mean small. I mean like maybe more like a series of things rather than like one big
thing that just caused
drama,
it all.
You know, yeah. One specific incident, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
I think if it's a series of small things, I don't think you have the backing of the players in terms of, you know, they'll openly want him and they'll show it in a certain way, or to speak to certain people, or their agents will speak to certain people to say, we want Raskin in the team. Ultimately, there's been no stories that have came out saying that the players want him back in there. And I think that's something that would happen. I agree with Gordon at times.
The story was that the senior players back Russell Martin.
Exactly. Which tells you an awful lot about what's happened.
And we'll see if that is the case then. Why is Russell Martin getting blamed for this then?
Because he's not winning games of football. This is what happens. It doesn't matter. If Rangers are winning week in, week out, the fans will be backing Russell Martin in terms of this happening. They're not winning games. They're losing games and they're dropping points against other teams. And their best midfielder from last season isn't playing. So the Rangers fans are right to say he should be on the pitch. And guess what? If we have to pick between him being on the pitch to help us get out of this rut that we're in, or the manager who's got us into this rut, we're going to pick the player. That's only human, and I totally understand it. But, you know, Russell Martin, like I said, still there, and he needs to patch up with Raskin.
Okay, thank you, Robert. 01419511025. Give us a call right now. We'll do our very best to get you on next. Clyde One. 553,000 pounds up for grabs. You can get 100 entries into the draw by texting bank to 61025. Those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For 5 entries, text yes to 61025. Those messages are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269340. Calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close 5 p.m. on Friday, so do not miss out on £553,000. Text yes to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley are here. We've got two Chrissies on the line, and they're both Hearts fans, so I'm bound to get mixed up. Let's see who was through first. I think it was Chris in Livingston. Take it away, Chris.
How you doing, mate? All right?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good. What are you thinking tonight?
I was just wanting to discuss, obviously, the game on Saturday. I was just obviously wanting to give like my team like massive credit that it deserves. Eh? Obviously, I knew that most of the chat would be about how bad Rangers were, but I just didn't want it to get lost, like how good Hearts were on the day.
Yeah, quite right.
I thought they were absolutely outstanding to a man, eh? I thought they controlled the game brilliantly. Halkett was solid at the back, like Braga and Shankland, like an amazing link-up up front, like Kazaridis, like up and down those wings, with obviously Beringame and Devlin in the middle of the park, like outstanding. I just thought it was an all-round brilliant performance for Hearts, eh? I didn't obviously want that to get lost in all the like the Rangers meltdown.
No, I do think that's important. I've always said before there's an inevitability about it. It's not deliberate. It's not trying to overlook Hearts, but really, really good in terms of what they could do and what they could control.
Yeah, Hearts have made a brilliant start to the season. You know, even in a couple of games, Derek McInnes had to change things at half time to get reaction out of his players, and then going to the weekend's game, as I said, I thought it'd be a win for Rangers with it being at Ibrox. I thought they would turn their fortunes and fair play to Hearts. You know, they really did put Rangers to the sword. And you know, Chris, you mentioned Braga there, and I've been so impressed with him. You know, obviously he played against you guys last week, and then you know, watching him leading up to that, but actually watching him live and seeing what he does, you know, him and Shanklin together work really, really well. And there's no doubt for me that, you know, if you can keep those two players fit, that Hearts have a fantastic opportunity of at least finishing third in this league. So yeah, the recruitment's been brilliant. You know, the team's getting stronger. I know your new Brazilian midfielder was out with a hamstring injury, but he looked a good player as well when he came in against us. So I think the future's really bright for Hearts.
So you're saying there's absolutely no chance it can split the big two?
I don't think so. I think it's a really, really difficult thing to do. I think, you know, we saw Aberdeen make the fantastic start as you always speak about last season, and yes, mm-hmm. they fell off a cliff in terms of it, but I think over the course of the season you're playing all those games, I think it starts to change. You know, if Hearts are say in second place or joint first place to get into Christmas, I think all of a sudden the pressure starts to change on those players. And Chris will tell you, if they're in the stand and they're drawing with Livingston or whoever else after 20 minutes, I think the pressure starts to get put on the players. Like, come on, we should be beating these up because we're second in the league. Whereas now I think, you know, the Hearts fans are enjoying the ride because of the disappointment they had last season. You know, and I think that's allowing the players to play a little bit without less pressure,
I do agree with Chris. I'm delighted he's come on. I think that, as sometimes overlooked, we talk about the performance of Rangers at the weekend, all the focus is on the manager, the fans not happy. I thought Hearts set up brilliantly, attacking, they fancied it. They got a little bit of rub of the green at times, you've got to say, but listen, that's what it's all about. And that man that everybody thought that maybe one day he would have been at Ibrox goes back and punishes him with two good goals. Well, apparently kicked to finish.
Chris, are you allowing yourself to get carried away? What do you think about sort of aspirations now, having played a little bit of the season so far?
Well, obviously, I allow myself to dream, eh? Obviously, thinking of what could come in the future. But obviously, we're only five games in. Like, the season's, like, obviously at its intimate, like, now, so... I'd like to think that we can, like, do something this season, like maybe split the old firm, but, like, obviously it's one of those, I just want to stay grounded now and just enjoy it while it lasts, eh, sort of thing.
I think, Marvin, you look at, there are a couple of things you obviously need to do, show that you're organised and hard to beat and all that, but those players that Chris mentioned, players that can actually go and hurt Rangers at Ibrox, Braga, Kayseridis, Shankland, you said last week or a couple of weeks ago, you thought Agüero, the record signing who came on, top draw. So you think actually there could be more to come from this Hearts team because he was out injured?
Yeah, I think this team will get better. I don't think we're seeing Hearts play at their best in terms of, you know, everyone being up to speed and, like you said, with a couple of boys that being out injured as well. So I definitely think the team will get better. The squad's really, really deep now as well. They've got a lot of players there, but a lot of good players as well that if things aren't going right for them, like I said, you know, Derek McInnes can turn to his bench and make, you know, 3, 4, 5 changes and the players will really come on and impact the match. So yeah, I think Hearts will do really, really well. I just think it's really difficult to, you know, split the big two.
Thank you very much to Chris in Livingston. We've got another Chris on the other line. How are you?
How are you doing there? How are you doing there, guys?
Good here. What are you thinking then? You must be pretty happy after the weekend.
I am indeed, mate. I'm a first-time caller, but I'm a huge fan of your show. But I've just felt the need to give you a wee phone, just listening to everything that's going on. I don't think it was a surprise to anybody that Hearts won. I mean, I just want to firstly just go over everything that previous caller Chris just said. I think that the way that Hearts have been playing and the way that they played at the weekend, that's kind of been quieting down by all the other noise. I think that Hearts were absolutely outstanding at Stannard, and I think we've been that way since the start. Apart from that wee glitch when we got smashed out of the cup against St Mirren, that's the kind of reality check. But we're still, like Chris said, we're still only five games in, and we're getting better and better. I do just want to make a quick point about the Rangers situation. I listened to the media after the match, after the game at the weekend there, and I do, this is going to raise a few eyebrows, but I do actually feel quite sorry for the Rangers fans. I do feel really sorry. I feel really, really sorry for them. They've got a guy in charge who's come up here and he doesn't have the first clue about the league. He doesn't have the first clue about the club. I'm not a Rangers fan, but I listened to him and I was raging with him. I thought, you're just showing a complete level of disrespect and dissent towards the fans of that club. I mean, his tone, for a start, was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. It was shocking. He should have been dragged out of the building right there and then. It was so bad. I mean, the majority of fans here are working-class men and women who pour so much of their hard-earned cash into the clubs that they love, no matter what league it's in, no matter if it's the Premier League, the Championship, the first or the second, or lower. They go to work and they talk about nothing about the game. They talk about now apart from their next game, and then they go out, they put in a performance like that, and then the man that's running in the show comes out and basically tells them all to shut it. I mean, I think that is just shocking.
Jesus, really coming down on Russell Martin. Opposition even fans Hearts, yeah, are on him as well. Chris, before we let you go, because we're a bit pushed for time, how are you feeling about your club's chances this season when you look at the start you've made?
Well, I'm a realist, mate. I think that Celtic will win the league, but I think, as the previous caller Chris was saying, and yourselves, I think the Hearts are going to improve, and I think that we'll finish second.
There we go. That was another Chris on the line. Thank you very much. It's time for us to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Still loads to come. Going to hear from Celtic's new signing, who was man of the match at the weekend. What did you make of him on the wing? Of course, you had the protest there, Celtic fans. I assume that's not it, done and dusted now, but what happens next? Where does this go from here, as far as you're concerned? Before all of that, though, it's Beat the Pundit time. Gordon DL is having a mare. His form has...
No.
I thought you've lost the last three in a row.
I've not.
Are you sure?
Who told you that nonsense?
Oh, Gordon Martin.
I think you might have.
No, I think you'll need to check.
Anyway.
Well, listen, if it comes to the producers, I've probably won my last three in a row.
He's a man on the ropes. If you want to take advantage tonight, it's 01419511025, and the lines close at 7.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are here. It's the usual number, 01419511025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB to send your thoughts in tonight. Of course, again, there's lots of reaction coming into Russell Martin's position and where Rangers find themselves. It is moving on slightly day by day now. We've got fan groups issuing statements calling for the manager and CEO Patrick Stewart to go. So I wonder what you make of that. Is that the right avenue to go about things? Do you think that makes a difference? Can you see any sort of protest action this weekend? On that topic though, Celtic fans, I'm very keen to hear from you, because I assume that that one protest on Sunday doesn't fix everything, but that's that done and you win the game. And so again, what happens next for you? What is that next step? What are you looking for next? Do you do that at every game? Is it going to be a kind of staged process along the way? Let us know how you see that playing out from here. And we're going to hear from Sebastian Tunickte as well. So I wonder if you could tell us what you made of his performance. Where does that rank in recent debuts that you've seen? Give us a call and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Kevin in Hamilton's going to play. How are you, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. First time?
Yep, debut.
Good. Be honest, what is your form? I'm sure your form's horrendous.
I've lost my last... No, I lost 1-1 and lost the next one, so I've won 1 out of 2.
So you did lose last Tuesday, though?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, last Thursday.
And Tuesday.
Yeah, I genuinely think it was. I think you're in a really, really bad run.
I won on the Sunday.
Marvin is going for 7 in a row.
Things
top
are,
of the table by a mile.
Things are bad.
It's incredible.
When you're getting beat with you're getting beat with a Livy coach, things are bad.
Right, let's toss the coin. If it's the blue side of the coin, it will be Marvin Bartley. If it's the red side, it will be Gordon DL.
Kevin didn't answer you.
What?
How many does he normally get?
That's fine, I don't always ask. I like to mix it up. You're back in the seat again. How's this?
Do you know what? You've played once this season when I've been with you. Once.
Hard questions. Hard questions tonight as well.
Lies.
Hard questions. Very hard.
Really?
Tough questions.
Oh, come on, Kev. I'm rooting for you.
Give Marvin something else to listen to, Kevin. You have 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right, good man. Your time is on the clock. Your 30 seconds starts now. Who's Celtic's top scorer this season?
Nygren.
What hill did Rangers hike up yesterday?
Connick Hill.
Who scored a hat-trick for Dunfermline at the weekend?
Pass.
How many Premiership teams are unbeaten in the league?
Unbeaten? One.
Which top flight club has the newest stadium?
Top flight club's got the newest stadium, St Mirren.
Spell Maswanisi.
Maswanisi.
Honestly, they're at it, these producers. They're at it. How relieved are you?
I am delighted I'm not playing tonight, let me tell you. Oh, mate, they're not tough, but
they are.
Their answers, they've got to go, I knew that. I'm telling you now.
That's a really detailed summary from
you're
him.
Going to go, oh, I knew that.
But
you're not going to get the answer.
All right, okay.
You know what I mean?
Not but really.
I'm Marvin, desperate for the last one.
Yeah. Unbeaten.
Oh, it's not happening.
Is it going to change tonight? Oh. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who's Celtic's top scorer this season?
Maida.
What hill did Rangers hike up yesterday?
I can't remember. Loch Lomond.
Who scored a hat-trick for Dunfermline at the weekend?
Todd.
How many Premiership teams are unbeaten in the league?
Two.
Which top flight club has the newest stadium?
Aberdeen.
Spell Maswanisi.
Pass.
How many penalties were awarded in the Premiership at the weekend?
Three.
Who are the only English club Craig Gordon's played for?
Sunderland.
Who scored more goals for Rangers, Marco Negri or Cyril Dessers?
Dessers.
It was very quick at the end there. You went very quick.
Yeah. Oh, you should have had a go at the spelling.
Kevin, what do you think?
I've been there all day.
I think you should have had a go at the spelling. At least I'd have bashed it.
I know.
Exactly, Kevin.
Nah, Kevin.
Okay, let's go through it. Good game. Really good game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because Celtic's top scorer is Benjamin Negrin on three. Dyson Maida's got two, and Kevin got it. Kevin is also from these parts. You are not. Connick Hill. 2-0, Kevin.
Ooh.
Oh, you're in bother. Oh, you're in trouble. Who scored a hat-trick for Dunfermline at the weekend? Which Todd?
He's got Todd in the back of his thing. I didn't even know there was two. Young Todd.
I will give you it reluctantly. It's Andrew.
Oh, come on.
Okay,
come on, Kevin.
I think to even get that, it's not bad. So it's 2-1 to Kevin. The Premiership...
I'm one letter out in
Maswanisi,
so did I get that?
Nope.
Must have been on Google already.
The Premiership sides unbeaten in the league, Celtic, Hearts, Hibs and Motherwell. There's four. None of you got it right.
Ooh.
The newest stadium is St Mirren. Aberdeen. Have you been to Aberdean?
Oh, listen. Have you looked there around? The weekend, mate.
Have you looked around, Pittodrie? Does it look new to you?
Beating records gone,
oh, it's gone, isn't it?
Do you know what's so bad about that? Especially the bit you'd have been in. That main stand at Pittodrie must be one of the oldest looking stands.
And you always say about the moon from Love Street, I should have known
My goodness.
I began to panic.
So 1-2, what are we? 3-1, is it? 3-1 to Kevin.
What would Kevin get?
Yeah, it's 3-1. He got St Mirren.
But you come with a late run, mate.
None of you got it right, Marvin. I think these ones you shouldn't be allowed to pass. These
I don't care.
Right, Kevin. No.
Oh, listen to you.
M A S W A N H I S E. So
I had
Kevin didn't get
down.
It right.
Definitely, no one's getting that right.
I had it written down. Let it go, look.
One.
And
as he
mash.
Miles off it. Did you have mash? Mashed potato. how many penalties awarded at the weekend? Hearts, Celtic and Hibs. It was three. Marvin moves within one.
Nice.
The only English club Craig Gordon played for was Sunderland. Marvin equalises.
Oh, come Kevin. On Kevin.
Did he get this far?
No. Who scored more goals for Rangers, Marco Negri or Cyril Dessers?
Dessers.
See, Negri's before your time.
Dessers.
Negri's before your time though. You know how prolific Marco Negri was.
But he got an injury. He got a bad injury.
Yeah,
didn't he?
I remember.
But think how prolific he was.
I know, because he scored seven in his trial against me at Somerset.
That's right.
Yeah. I know how prolific he was. I seen it firsthand.
He went on trial against his team and scored seven.
Oh,
you got him signed.
But that was only first half.
I take him off.
He got 36. It was not all in one season.
Oh, that's not. This has got more than that.
Dessers has got 52.
Oh, Kevin, thanks for coming, buddy.
Shocking.
That is shocking, Kevin.
Oh, Kev.
Woo!
Do you know the mistake he made, rookie? He should have passed the spelling.
I don't think he should be allowed to pass the spelling.
I agree. I agree. That's ridiculous.
I don't think he should be allowed to pass.
So he spent too much time on there. Well, he knows for next time.
I'm still aging with that Todd one. The only gave a second name.
To be fair, Kevin, I think if you can identify Todd at Dunfermline, I'm happy.
Yeah, that's good enough knowledge, isn't it?
But there is two.
Yeah.
Andy Todd, isn't it?
No.
Andy Todd.
Andrew,
Oh, so he's named after his dad. Was his dad called Andy Todd?
Anyway, well done. Mm. You got it, Marvin. Do you know what, Kevin, though? I think a rematch at some point on the cards.
Therefore, I need to actually try and play one night when Ross McCollum explains. I've got a cracking story about him and I played for him against about five sides.
Well, please keep it for then. I'm really looking forward to it. So is Gordon DL. You'd love to hear that story, wouldn't you?
As long as he wasn't babysitting.
No, we're the same age.
Good man. Well done, Kevin. Thanks for. In fact, do you know what, Kevin, see before you go? As a Celtic fan, I was just going to ask him before there, what's the mindset at the moment? Because, like we said, you know, you've had your protest, but I assume that's not the end of it. Where does it go from here?
No, I must admit, I'm obviously listening every night, guys, to be fair, and I've heard a lot of people sort of moaning about the whole 14 titles in 15 years, but me Celtic fans like me as well, we don't want to just stay in the one place, we want to keep moving forward, we don't want to just be beating Rangers, if that makes sense, we want to keep going.
Yeah, and Gordon, that's why I think it's going to be fascinating now, because the Rangers one is a bit easier, if you like. Mm-hmm. It's very much linked to results week in, week out. So you lose at the weekend, fans get very angry. Celtic situation is going to be fascinating to see the next few weeks, because take the weekend as an example. Protest before the game, last minute winner. There's nothing better in football. Yes, controversial. Fans are down at the track, and it's funnily enough, it's the new guy. It's the guy that they're all moaning about how long it took to get in, who scores, mm-hmm. and everything's wonderful for a minute or for a couple hours. But then you're back to being angry at the way the club's been run. But who knows? Celtic might win the next 10 games straight. Do you protest every one of those? I'm not saying you don't. It's a genuine question as to how this is going to play out for Celtic. Do the board acknowledge something? Do they acknowledge the protest, the banners, the chants? Do they give a form of communication that the Celtic fans have been looking for? I'm really interested to see where it goes.
Well, they tried the communication and you wouldn't well know where that went.
But that's what I mean. That was the wrong form of communication,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Certainly backfired on them. I don't really know, Gordon. I don't know whether, especially, I don't think, obviously, the cup against Partick Thistle. I think the fans will certainly get into that. It's sold out.
There'll still be something though, will there not? There'll be another banner at chance.
I think there'll be banners. I think there'll be banners and chants. I think where the next big one will come is their next home game. I think they'll try really make their voice heard at Celtic Park. They tried it at Kilmarnock, and obviously we've seen the difference when the fans come mm-hmm. in after 12 minutes, and it makes such a difference to the atmosphere and obviously to the players.
Because even at that, you know, I think every individual fan's got the right to do what they feel is appropriate. And what was it? Would you say maybe about 75% stayed out?
Yeah.
Which is fine, and that's their prerogative. But naturally, that means that 25% were in at the start. And when that happens, does that mean that that's a show of faith in the board? Do you know what I mean? It's almost like you're not wanting to take part in the protest.
Maybe it's just you want to support your team.
Yeah. Totally, but do you see what I mean? That's how it can be seen that way. If there's a protest on and you're not involved in it.
Yeah, I think the numbers will get less and less. See, if you're winning on the pitch, I think you're totally right. See, if Celtic would have drawn that game or lost that game, I think you get a lot of people doing it again. But I think the numbers get smaller and smaller. As long as the team keeps performing on the pitch, yes, those fans that are in there are still going to be angry with the ball, but they're not going to want to miss the football.
But then that defeats the purpose, Kevin, surely, because Celtic generally win on the pitch domestically. If that was the case, we wouldn't be in this situation in the first place.
It's really, really simple. I'll make it as simple as I can. If you've looked in the new Celtic dressing room since they've done it up, the mission statement of this board is they've put on the wall world-class basics. That's all we're wanting as a fan base, is for them to do their job. They're very well remunerated for what they do. Most of them get between £800,000 and £1 million a year. All we're wanting them to do is identify targets, get them in, strengthen the squad, and you'll not see any of this. It's no much we're asking for, but we need to go to ridiculous lengths just to get them to do the basics, and that's pretty much it.
Is the problem not, Kevin, not the timing of the transfers? Obviously, leaving it late, Adam Ida leaves, and then obviously the window closes, they get into the free transfer. You look at the European qualifier, people are saying, okay, they should have had enough in the tank to beat Almaty, but didn't lay a glove on them. But also they should have had reinforcements in long before that. Because they've got the money, they would have had the targets. Unfortunately, their transfer window's been an absolute shocker, I've got to say. And you just wonder if the Celtic fans will keep protesting what's going to happen come January. That's got to be really interesting.
I don't like that phrase, world-class basics, either. That's the sort of thing you would come out with. Remember that phase you went through of your motivational quotes you were reading out?
Yeah, on a Saturday afternoon. I do like that.
Oh, behave.
Do you not like that? I think that sends out a powerful message. I'm all for powerful messages.
Honestly. Anyway, talking about transfer business, why don't we, and we thank Kevin for his time. Kevin's getting a bit of support. A few callers feeling Kevin was hard done by with your Todd shout, because there are two.
Yeah.
Did one of them score a hat trick?
One of them did score a hat trick.
Thanks.
No, sorry, mate. I'll give you that. But I would deduct you a point for not even trying the spelling. That's ridiculous.
I hereby declare a new rule has been introduced. If there's a spelling question, you have
to
give it a
countdown. Don't put spelling into it.
Okay.
That'd be better.
Three for the top, two for the bottom. And another for Rachel.
Right, Celtic fans, keep your calls coming at the moment. We're talking about transfers and so on. What about the actual football for a second? Tunitki has obviously grabbed his chance. He was man of the match at the weekend. And all this talk about when he came in and how long it took. Well, he says that missing out on Champions League football did not affect his desire to move to the club.
When I heard about Celtic, it was, I told my agent and everyone around me that it was my only choice if I was supposed to leave Hammarby at this stage. I watched the Champions League games. Of course, we all wanted to go through into the Champions League. But now we are in the Europa League. Now we're going to do everything we can do to make a good campaign. It was hectic. It was pretty hectic. Of course, the window was closing on Monday. They managed it and it went pretty fast on Monday. So it was a little bit stressful day, but I'm just happy to be here.
What did you make of him?
Well, it was funny because on Sunday you had one winger going forwards, another one going backwards, so there was a good balance. I thought he was excellent, Gordon. I really did. See, every time he got the ball, the one thing I liked about him, he was so positive. Mm-hmm. He believed in his ability, went at defenders. And it is very hard because, I tell you, on that pitch mm-hmm. down there, it is difficult. It's your debut. You could have played it a little bit more safer. I thought everything he'd done was positive. He looks a real fine for me. He really does. If he can keep that up, and obviously at Celtic Park with the width of the pitch and the possession Celtic's got, then I think he's got to be a real find.
Yeah. The hardest bit to do, really, Marvin, isn't it? I mean, the thought of you and your career trying to dribble past someone
on any pitch, let alone that one,
an alien concept. But to sort of do it the number of times that he did, and then, as you say, on that pitch against a low block, you know, sort of like exactly what's expected from a Celtic wing, go and make that difference. Yeah. You know,
he wanted to create, didn't he? Every time he got the ball, as Gordon said there, he wanted to create something. He wanted to bring other players into play, whether he got a shot of himself. He just wanted to be positive. And that's the worst thing for a defender. And the winger gets, you think, oh, here we go again. He's going to come at me. He wasn't waiting for support. Like you said there, he looks a real, real fine. That's the most difficult pitch that we'll face as well in the league.
Oh, so, look at Levy with our new fans.
Yeah, so we've got the new plastic,
oh,
which is very, very good.
Cocky now.
Plays well. We might water it from time to time. But no, I thought it was brilliant. You know, I think the Celtic fans would have been extremely excited to see him. And as Gordon said there as well, you know, when they get him on Celtic Park as well, I think he'll be absolutely brilliant for them. So yeah, listen, provides perfect balance to the front line, and they needed reinforcements, and he looks like a real good player, although it's only his debut.
You should know that people are always listening. Everybody's listening to this. I've had a message from Aberdeen's CEO, nevertheless. It looks like I maybe overdid the suggestions that Pataudry's a bit old. Traditional is what I like to call it. Traditional.
Yeah. I'm glad he's not happy with you, because it's very disrespectful what you said.
Traditional.
The Aberdeen fans were on me last season. This year it's going
to
be you.
It was more to criticise you for thinking that it was the newest. Come on, let's not be silly about this. Let's bring in Brian on the line. How are you, Brian?
Yeah, fine. Just 2 points I would like to speak about, if mm-hmm. that's okay.
Yep.
What it was just the weekend after the Rangers game. I'm a Celtic supporter. It's just the thing that Tavernier said, something to do with psychologically the players are struggling on the pitch when it comes to the league. So I'm hearing people saying, aye, Russell Martin needs to go. But do you know the thing that the players should be looking at themselves and saying, right, what are we doing? What can we do to help? Because if you get another manager in, this could just go the exact same way, and then it's a case of get rid of the manager. He's no good enough. But it seems to be like the players are not taking a lot of responsibility. People are saying this and that, but I think the players should have a look at themselves and say, right, we need to sort this out.
I do believe players get away very lightly nowadays, and they hide behind the manager at times, and obviously the full focus just now is on the manager, Russell Martin. Look, I've been there, and I know it was a long, long time ago, but it's never changed. When you go to a club the size of Rangers and you run out on a pitch, the expectations are massive, and you've either got to accept them. You know there's criticism coming your way.
I thought you were going to say you need to sink or swim. I was actually
going to say that in my next sentence here, but you've stole my thunder. But I it is difficult, and for new players that's never played in that sort of environment, it does take a little bit of time. But you can't keep using that as an excuse. You're signed by Rangers because they believe you've got that quality, so you've got to go out there and show the heart as well.
Time's up against us a little bit, Brian. I know you had a point about your own team as well, so you crack on if you can.
All this carrying on with the Celtic board and all the rest of it, it's just getting really, really annoying. I think the only thing that could be done would be for Dermot Desmond to sell the club, bring in new ownership, because it's just the carry on what I'm saying about Brendan just managing the team. If you're going to get another manager in, he's not going to accept, oh, I just want to manage it. He'll have his own ideas and his own things to get in the Champions League. So I think that would be the best bet, just sell the club and move forward, because Celtic seem to just come back and back now.
Gordon, I think this is the problem, right? Whether Dermot Desmond wanted to sell his shares or not, I've absolutely no idea, obviously, and whether that would change things, because from what I understand, that's still the bit that the Celtic fans haven't quite got to. You know, it's easy to sort of say sack the board. It's a nice, it's catchy, fits very well, it scans in a chant, you can put it in the banner. But I did an interview on Sky today with one of the Celtic fans and podcasters who was at the meeting last week and who took part in the protest, who was saying that's still the bit that they're kind of working towards. What is the end goal specifically?
For the fans?
Yeah. Like, so Brian says we'll get Dermot Desmond to sell up. So, fine, that's Brian's opinion. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean, Marvin? That one thing. This is why the Rangers situation is simpler, if you want to call it that. They just want the manager gone. Right? Yeah. So that's easier. You know what that looks like. Sack that manager, replace him with someone else. I'm not sure the Celtic fans, from what I heard today, have got that kind of one silver bullet in mind yet.
Yes, it's a lot more difficult, isn't it? I think, you know, the frustration clearly comes from them not qualifying for the Champions League, because the Celtic fans don't believe that they brought in the players to give them the best opportunity to do so. You know, it looked like the board had gambled on the current squad being able to get them through and being good enough to get them through, and then it doesn't happen. So, you know, you understand why they're protesting, but like you said, what is it now? I think it's just maybe a warning to the board to say, listen, we will protest if we don't feel you're running the club properly. I don't think anyone really wants, you know, people start selling their shares, etc. Because, you know, Brian's saying, no, the club's going backwards. Last season, they qualified for the first time through the group stages in the Champions League. So, you know, 6 months ago, everything was all rosy. It's just this one window. You know, they failed to go through in the Champions League, and that is because Celtic didn't reinforce in terms of bringing
But I think the biggest problem for the Celtic fans, you're right, I thought last season they should have actually won the treble as well. The Scottish Cup was a disaster for them against a poor Aberdeen side. But if you look at Celtic, and I know it was Kilmarnock and everybody always touches on, difficult place to go, they look weaker than they've been for a long, long time for me. I know there's a few players still to settle in. They've got one or two injuries, key players. But as a squad, they look weaker to me.
Thank you, Brian. Good time to call. If you do it right now, we'll do our very best to get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley are here. They're going to team up to try and answer this teaser this evening. Now remember, if you want to come up with your own question, send it in, hear it used in the show, have that nice warm fuzzy feeling of knowing you tricked the pundits. The address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. It was Mary in Cumbernauld who sent this one in. I like it. Can you name 7 active players who've scored 7 or more goals against Rangers? 7 players still playing who've scored 7 or more goals against Rangers. Quite a list.
The Shankman one.
Yeah.
He is. That took him up to 7 at the weekend.
Yeah, I knew that. Kyogo must have been.
Yes, well done.
Is your mic off now?
McGregor?
No.
No.
Perfect.
Good start.
Brilliant. Turn my mic back off.
Yeah.
Someone actually told me a stat as well from the weekend. I think that took...
Oh, done.
It took Stuart Finlay up to some sort of record-breaking number of victories against Rangers for a non-Old Firm player. I'm sure someone told me that today.
Boyle.
Yes, 8 he's got. Okay, let's leave it there. Kyogo, Boyle, Shankland. We'll try and get the rest before the end of the show. But more importantly, we need your questions. Keep them pouring in. fulltime@clyde1.com. Okay, Robert is on next. He's an Aberdeen fan. Hi, Robert.
Hi, panel. How are you?
Good, Robert. What are you thinking tonight, then?
I've never seen a more uninspirational manager in my life, and I'm nearly 67. I watched Tierney on the sidelines for best part of a year now. Watched him against Celtic, watched him against Livingston, unanimated, no shouting, nothing. Absolutely nothing. He'll never, ever, ever need throat lozenges, because that guy will never get laryngitis. Never. Never. He was well with a couple of puppets the way he moves his hands about. It's just pathetic to watch.
Is that the sole criteria, though? I mean, Robert, there are loads of top managers who don't shout and don't really, you know, rant and rave and don't do that much, especially nowadays. That there's got to be more to management than that, surely.
In Scotland? No.
Well, Brendan Rodgers doesn't really do much on the touchline, does he? Jimmy Tilley, he's an Aberdeen fan. Say that again?
I see a wee bit more animated than Jimmy Tielan. And your man at Ibrox, Russell Martin, he's a bit animated, but he's under the same pressure as your guy is. Honestly, I mean, he's no Pittodrie. He's no where the television gantry is. The play was over at that touchline, and he's moving his left hand 5 or 6 inches in either direction. But there wasn't a ball boy standing in front of him telling him to move. Who was he talking to? The play's at the other side of the park, and he's just moving his left hand 4 or 5 inches. And who are you talking to? What are you gesturing?
Don't get me wrong, Gordon. The point I'm trying to make is, I think if you want to phone up as an Aberdeen fan and say I'm not happy, we're bottom of the league, we've not scored, I get it. What the point I was just trying to make is the number of inches he moves his hand, or whether he's animated or not, is, like I said, in modern football, is it really a prerequisite that you shout and scream on the touchline? Feel like there are maybe more pressing concerns.
It gets back to what's happened at Ibrox with Russell Martin. If you're not winning games, everything is pinpointed. And you know what I mean? Robert's talking about, well, he's moving his hand, and who's he talking to? He doesn't get the one, you know, angry way and frustrated in the touchline. Maybe that's just his style. Look, if he's winning games, they never said that after the Scottish Cup final. You know what I mean? They never ever once said to, by the way, in Scottish Cup final, did you see your manager on the touchline? Absolutely not. They were too busy celebrating. So if you win games, these sort of things don't even get brought up. But the minute you're not doing well, every single thing from your suit to your shoes to your hairstyle to the way you act in the touchline to your press conferences, they're all brought into play here, and that's what's happening. He's got to start winning games. Aberdeen fans are certainly not happy.
Where are you on the overall picture then, Robert? Because obviously the Scottish Cup was incredible and no one can take it away, but the league didn't finish well last season. It hasn't started well.
I'm just trying to pick up my point that Gordon said there when we won the Scottish Cup, we were over the moon. Of course it was a good cup win, but these concerns were there last February. These concerns were there February, March, April, May. We've won 5 league games out of 33. Now, call it what you like, moving his hand 5 or 6 inches either way, whatever he's doing, isn't he working?
Do you not think the new players will improve you though, Robert?
What? Sorry?
The players that you brought in, obviously Armstrong came on against us, Nisbet up front, and is it Carlson that played on the left as well?
Played really well. The big left back guy. He played well.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to look for a bit of inspiration for the dugout. Honestly, there's got to be a bit of passion. There's nothing.
Robert, do you think that we talk about managers now, it's a short-lived career. Do you think if he hadn't won the Scottish Cup, he'd still be in that dugout?
No, definitely not. No.
Yeah, so you think that bought him a bit of... That bought him a bit of grace a little bit, yeah.
Which is fine, though. I mean, let's be honest. Right. If you're going to talk about... That's what football's all about, isn't it? However you get there.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be fine, though. Like, honestly, us playing them at the weekend, and I know, listen, they've only got 1 point, they've not scored any goals yet, and I understand all Robert's concerns. I think with the new players in there, I think Armstrong came on and looked the part as well. Really did. Yeah. Honestly, you can just tell with his experience and he's gliding away from people and turning away from people, he'll be really good for them. I think there's a good squad there. Aberdeen will be in the top six. I know, listen, you had a slow start and just being in the top six is not where you want to be, but I think they're the one team I've looked at so far this season that I would say are in a false position in terms of the players that they do have and the quality they do have now within that team.
Big period coming up though, Gordon, but like it's so early. Aberdeen, in fact, are the best placed team to sort of signify this, because this time last season they were flying. They went to October, November, they were right up the top, and it you know, it is a long season. So, you know, nothing's guaranteed based on how you start. But just in those early exchanges, if we're using Hearts as a barometer of where Aberdeen would like to be, they want to be near Hearts, whatever that looks like. Hearts are 12 points ahead of them. So, you know, it's early, but that's, can't really afford for that to get much bigger.
No, certainly can't, because if you're an Aberdeen fan like Robert, you're looking and thinking, I know Marv's touching on top six. I think Aberdeen, with the players in the back and everything that they've had, I think you'd be looking top four easily for me.
It's only 5 points off that. That's what I mean. It's
mate. Listen, I'm not going early, but they need to start winning games. I think their transfer market has been good with the addition of the three players coming in, because you bring in a guy that can score goals as well. You touch on Armstrong. Carlson is, you know, a Swedish internationalist, and everybody rates him very, very highly. So it's a very strong squad. But as much as you've got that squad there, you've got to start winning games, and especially home games against Livy.
They're looking to get a point.
So he's in his tracks on
that. I think that is part of it as well, isn't it? Yes, there was a red card against Falkirk, but still, no offence, Marvin. If you're Aberdeen and you go home games against Falkirk and Livy without scoring, that's...
only get 1 point, yeah.
You know, those are, again, no offence, the types of fixture that they'd look to win.
They should be winning, yeah. There's no doubt about it. When you look at it on paper, they should be winning those games. And now I think with the transfer window that they have had, you know, the three late additions that have been brought into the squad, I think Jimmy Tilleen will understand that he doesn't have any real excuses left. And as Gordon said, you know, it's really important now they start picking up league wins, because I think Robert said it says 5 wins in 33 games. That's not good enough for a team of that size.
They have made some structural change though. I don't know if you noticed, Director of Football Stephen Gunn, it was announced that he's stepping down, was at the training ground saying his goodbyes. He's had different roles at the club over 25 years.
Good service.
So I think that was just today, actually, that came out this morning. So maybe a kind of restructure there, or a kind of different voice in, different ideas, different approach.
Yeah, they may just be sort of a changing it slightly, Gordon, to see if they can get a reaction throughout the club. But the most important thing is the players. You've got to say that the board have certainly backed the manager. Yeah. You know, he's got some quality players in there, as Marv rightly says. He's seen it firsthand at the weekend. So I'm going to take his word that Aberdeen are in a false position, but Aberdeen fans are looking for results, not the opinion of Marvin Bartlett. Well,
thank you for listening and calling, Robert in Bayliston. It was 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Keep them coming. You can tweet us as well. You can send us all your thoughts, your well wishes, your criticisms and mild abuse to Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley. What about this teaser before we move on? It's a good one. Thank you to Mary in Cumbernauld for sending it in. I've had Paul sending some answers in, bragging that he's got ones that you'll never get. So 7 players currently playing who've scored 7 or more against Rangers: Kyogo, Boyle and Shanklin.
Currently playing in Scotland?
No, not necessarily.
Dembele?
Yes, well done. We'll get the rest of the answers, if we can, when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Been a quick show tonight. That's us in the final stretch already, but still time to squeeze a call in if you so wish. Let's quickly check in on that teaser sent in by Mary in Cumbernauld, and the usual shout out: if you want to get involved in this, send us an email, fulltime@clyde1.com. So you come up with the questions, and tonight it is 7 players currently playing who have scored 7 or more goals against Rangers: Kyogo, Boyle, Shanklin, Dembele. Three to get.
Could throw in James Forrest one, though.
No.
Adam Rooney.
No.
Edward.
Yes.
We're just going
to join in, buddy.
Two to get. We'll try and get them before the end of the show. Let's go to Gary, who is on the phone. How are you, Gary?
Evening, James. How are you? All right?
Good. What are you thinking tonight?
It was just we're talking about drawing with us. Russell Martin stuff, the reason why that you say the players and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've been reading any of the stuff on social media, way Twitter and stuff like, but they were saying something like maybe Raskin dropped the team sheet before the Club Bruce game, and I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, look, like everybody else, I've seen that rumour, Gordon. I've got no idea if it's true. It's at the moment it's a rumour, so I don't. That's the way of the modern footballing world. Social media is there. Gary and thousands of others will have seen this, that Nicholas Raskin leaked the team against Bruges. Absolutely no idea if that's true. And maybe the silence, because this is where Hugh and I sort of disagreed on this. Hugh feels that this stuff can be cleared up if Russell Martin just says exactly what the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say it was that, right? I genuinely, I'm a bit sceptical, if I'm being honest, right? Just one man's opinion, a bit sceptical. Don't really think it's likely, don't think it was that, but just my opinion, could be wrong. Let's say it was that. There is no way Russell Martin could come out and reveal that.
No.
Not in a million years.
No.
So, and to a point, got where Hugh was coming from, saying it then stops the speculation, fine, but if it was something like that, he'll never admit it.
Yeah, the advantage that Raskin has got just now is valuable to Rangers, right? So they've got to be careful what they do, because even if they want to have him out the building by January, they want to sell him or move him on, then they've got to just be careful what they put out there in the press. I keep going back to it, Gordon. I just don't think it's a couple of wee things that's all of a sudden grown, and the manager and the players have had a sort of a disagreement. It just doesn't work like that, especially the situation, especially the quality of the player. It's something really for me that I'm desperate to find out where it is. Look, we hear the rumours, and it's very hard to comment on them because it could be absolute nonsense, it could be rubbish, and we're having a go at a player for something that it's not happened. So it's a very difficult one for us.
Russell Martin spoke earlier this season. He said he wasn't bothered about the team being leaked to Marvin. He doesn't think it makes that much difference. There's a cynical bit here. I don't mean to be cruel on Rangers, but I don't think Bruges needed to know the Rangers team in advance, to be quite honest, based on that game. I don't know. It just feels like we've seen previous coaches who've worked with Nico Raskin speaking out in the media, not saying anything overboard, but saying that, you know, he is outspoken. It can be maybe quite difficult. So is it not more likely that it's that rather than some big scandal about a leaked team and all this? But like I say, I don't know. I don't have that information.
Yeah, listen, like you said, I've heard the same things in terms of, you know, a couple of people saying that he can be difficult at times and he will challenge you. And sometimes those players become more difficult when you're not winning games of football. As a manager, and Gordon will tell you also, when you're under stress and, you know, you're not winning games of football and there's so many other things going on, the last thing you need is a player questioning what you are doing, especially if they're doing that in front of others. It's never an easy situation. I played for a team before when there was a player very, very similar to that. And when you're winning games of football, it's seen as, okay, it is what it is. This is the way it is. But as soon as the results start to change, then the manager gets, you know, their fuse becomes a lot shorter, which you expect to happen. So, yeah, listen, if it was in terms of leaking the team, Russell might have spoken about that before and says it's not a huge problem. But definitely, if I was a player in the dressing room, one of my teammates had leaked the team, I wouldn't be too fond of that at all. And that's, you know, maybe the reason why the players are back in the manager's decision. The manager's decision in this, because it is something like that. But like you said, it's
go on then,
it's rumours.
Who is the difficult teammate you had?
Give us an actual real
I played a, it was that actually down in England. A guy called Dean Marnie was quite a difficult one.
How convenient. Gary, what do you make of the way this is sort of progressing? You know, we've been speaking about Raskin for weeks, but the way the story sits today is fan groups now issuing statements calling for Russell Martin and Patrick Stewart to go.
Is that Hugh there? Gary, you with Hugh?
I don't know what's going on in the background. Yeah, what do you think, Gary, the way this is playing out?
I think that's the only way that, you know, the fan base are obviously going to do it, because, you know, it's Russell Martin's definitely got the backing. And I think he'll have that for a while. And whether the fans just decide not to turn up to games, then that's the only way it's going to, you know, standing outside the stadium and making their press felt, then that's the only way they can do it. But, I mean, Russell Martin's got the backing. There's no way. Otherwise, he would have been gone after the Bruce game.
How many good results, Gary, for him to get your backing again?
Doug say three.
He's not having it.
Three.
Yeah, I don't. Even if he beats and then went on to the semi-finals and the final and won a cup, it's still not. You know, he has to get the points. The bread and butter is in the Scottish Premier League. That's where, you know, that's what we need to win. And he sitting 10th in the league just now after 5 games is, well, all the fans know that it's not acceptable. And I don't understand any other manager that would basically get that kind of reception that he's getting the backing of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, because this is why this next couple of weeks is obviously so critical, Gordon, because the cup becomes so vital, because if you go out, that's like that tangible sign of failure. You know, you don't need to worry about points gaps and whether you can or you can't claw it back. You're out the cup. Like every manager gets judged on those types of things, never mind one who's under the pressure Russell Martin is. But you also get where Gary's coming from. Is you just don't know how many results it would take to fix it, because say he wins it and he stays in, the league position hasn't changed yet. You know, so then that still rolls on, and it looks a long road back. I think we can admit that.
Oh, 100%. Even if he wins on Saturday, and there's no evidence to say that he will, the fans still will want him out. But if he can just keep his head down and sort out his press conferences and start winning games, it may take a long, long time, and he may keep himself in a job. But right now, it's game to game for me. I'm astonished he's still the manager of Rangers. I've got to be honest with you. But we're sitting here saying it must be unthinkable that if he gets knocked out of the cup and Sunday's still the manager of Rangers. But it couldn't happen.
You think having American owners is helping him in terms of them not understanding? Because for me, for example, before I came up here, I didn't understand the actual pressure cooker of what it's like in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. So do you think, you know, these people not understanding exactly how it is, they're not living in it day in, day out?
I think they must be playing a part.
Yeah, but I do think they understand football.
No, hold on. Maybe I think that word is confusing things. Not to say they don't understand it, but see, if you're not here and you're not feeling it on a day-to-day, if you were in that stadium on Saturday, you could be left in absolutely no doubt.
Yeah, but there's people in there that obviously are on the board that are in the stadium. They're coming in for a bit of criticism as well. It's amazing for me. I thought he'd have been out of job, Gordon, I've got to be honest with you. But we're now going game to game. We look at Saturday, all eyes will be in Ibrox. Got to be. And Hibs will come there like Hearts, and they will play, you know, attacking football. And it's up to Rangers.
Not defending too well, though, the Hibs at the moment.
No,
what's happened to them? Come on, Mr. Hibs.
Score three, though. So, yeah, defensively, it's been a little bit leaky for them, hasn't it? But
Grant Hanley can go away and keep a clean sheet in Copenhagen, look wonderful at international level, can't get a game for Hibs. What's that all about?
I think because the defenders had done so well, like last season on that run, and you know, started this season.
Too much loyalty.
Yeah, he's going to get his chance sooner or later if they keep defending like that.
Will you invite Russell Martin into the manager's office, you and Davey, in a couple of weeks? That's the next league game.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Depends. If we win, we'll invite him in. Mm. If they win, nope. Not allowed in.
Do you not?
No.
Do you think you'll
be? Don't want to share my Tony Max.
Do you think you'll
what
be?
What sort of spread do you put on for the opposition manager?
Do you know what it is? There's actually a decent spread. It's pies. There's pizzas.
It's a decent spread.
Oh, no. There's good food. There is good food. Mm. The chicken, the little chicken things. Kind of like a Nando's. It's decent.
Is it, mate?
Yeah.
Doesn't eat chicken, though, does he?
Who?
Russell Martin.
Don't come in then.
Cheese pizza. Anyway, right, let's thank Gary for his time and finish with the teaser. We're nearly there. So we're looking for the 7 players who are still playing and they've scored 7 or more goals against Rangers. You two are doing a bit better than I expected, quite frankly. Kyogo has got 8, Martin Boyle has got 8, Lawrence Shankland and Odson Edouard and Moussa Dembele have got 7.
I think he's just short, but I'm going to throw in Jota.
No.
Oh, how short was he?
I don't know.
Five, six.
He'll only have maybe 4-ish. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that. Maybe 3 or 4 or 5.
What was the other winger that they had?
Nope. Abada.
Yeah.
They're not Celtic players.
Okay.
Someone has had a longevity in the league.
One of them is a former teammate of yours, Marvin.
Oh, wow.
Hibs. Right. Come on. Who's up? No, Jason Cummings.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think of the championship and stuff. It was that year he played a lot.
Ross, okay.
8 times against Rangers.
That right,
and the last one,
still playing. And he's still playing in this league.
Four.
I'm telling you.
How many has he got?
Oh, seven.
Yeah.
What are you saying? Yeah, seven or more. He could have had 12.
I think the thing that makes this guy is a bit more impressive, if that's the right word, is he's not a striker. He's managed seven goals against Rangers. He's not a striker.
He's just always
got a knack of it.
O'Hara?
Yes.
Mark O'Hara.
Mark O'Hara.
Wow.
What a shout that is, isn't it?
Great shout from
Thank
you.
You.
Well done. That's thank you very much, up. Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley. Thank you for all your calls and tweets tonight. Scottish football just never quietens down, does it? It's going to be busy. That is the way we like it, of course. We can see what tomorrow brings. It'll always be something different, and then we'll head on towards the weekend. So make sure you join us at 6 o'clock. Thanks again for your time. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.